Aquifers and watersheds. Understanding our water resources. A production of the University of Wisconsin Water Resources Institute. Episode 3. Waters Within Waters, Working with Watersheds. You're back. Well, while you've been gone, I have been checking out watersheds at nationalatlas.gov. At least the biggest ones. Very colorful map. This is really cool. Ooh, let me just go over here. Okay. The largest units of watersheds are called regions and represent either the drainage area of a major river, such as the Missouri region, or the combined drainage areas of a series of rivers, such as the Texas Gulf region, which includes numerous rivers draining into the Gulf of Mexico. The successively smaller units within regions are subregions, accounting units, and cataloging units. I think I'll ask David about that in a second. Okay, hydrologic units. This is showing me watersheds, but it's not really telling me what they are. So I think I've found something over on water.epa.gov. Let's see what they have to say. Here we go. What is a watershed? A watershed is the area of land where all of the water that is under it or drains off of it goes into the same place. John Wesley Powell, geologist and explorer of the American West, put it there. And also, I may add, second director of the United States Geological Survey from 1881 to 1894, put it best when he said that a watershed is
that area of land, a bounded hydrologic system within which all living things are inextricably linked by their common watercourse, and where, as humans settled, simple logic demanded that they become part of a community.
Okay, well, there's a working definition anyway. Watersheds come in all shapes and sizes. They cross county, state, and national boundaries. In the continental United States, there are 2,110 watersheds, and if you include Hawaii, Alaska, and Puerto Rico, that brings it up to 2,267. Wow, that's a lot to deal with. Maybe we can ask David Krabbenhoft if he can clarify what a watershed is exactly. The working man's version.
You mention, what is your watershed? If you ask somebody that, I'm not so sure people would answer that question correctly from a technical standpoint, but I think from their perception, they would be 100% correct. If I look out my window right now and I'm looking at a little urbanized creek, that creek didn't exist 18 years ago. It's a catchment placed on the landscape by the engineers who developed this area. This was formerly a prairie, but when we developed this area and we create all the impervious surfaces, otherwise known as streets and parking lots, we have to deal with the runoff. The runoff is the water that falls from the sky and then has to go somewhere. Well, it collects along slopes. As I'm sure most people have heard, water flows downhill. Well, there's not a place where that has ever been not true. Water is under the powers of gravity, and once it hits the ground, the surface, wherever a raindrop hits, it immediately starts moving down the slope. Those combination of slopes and turns on the surface of wherever you are is part of a watershed. So this little creek here that didn't exist 18 years ago was actually placed there to channelize and carry water that runs off all the various streets and parking lots in this developed part of Middleton, Wisconsin, because we had to have a place for that water to go, so that people can drive and walk safely and not have to worry about the next 1-inch rainstorm that would wash out the road. And so this creek flows about 500 feet from the south to the north into a little detention basin which is another engineering construct to gather up runoff into a location to buffer the flow as it makes its way downstream, because you don't want these so-called gully washers coming out of our little local watershed. This creek, although man-made, operates just like any other natural watershed in that it's collecting rain and snowmelt and any other precipitation coming from this area, and it gathers up the water, usually in the form of a small creek, and it carries that water away. Well, part of that water flows into its local detention basin, or in a natural sense, it could be flowing into Lake Mendota or Lake Monona or Lake Wabisa or Wingra. Those are all the natural detention basins. That chain of lakes here in the Madison area that we know so well and we all like to use gathers up water that's running off all the watersheds that drain into that chain of lakes. Well, if you take that sense of where I'm going with my description here, you have this small little man-made creek that flows into the detention basin that maybe is about an acre in size, about 500 feet from where I'm sitting. The water from that detention basin carries on through and eventually makes its way into Lake Mendota. Well, there's a whole bunch of small creeks that are flowing into Lake Mendota as well. And in combination, all those little drainages, they're all watersheds. If you scale up your area that you're concerned about, so now instead of just being concerned about the parking lots around my office here, let's just say you're wondering about where does Lake Mendota get its water. Well, then you have to total up all the small little creeks that flow into Lake Mendota, and that then becomes your watershed. It's a combination of lots of creeks. And then if we scale that up even further, Lake Mendota flows into Lake Monona, which flows into Lake Wabisa and on down the chain to form the Yahara River. Well, then if we scale that up even further and we say, well, okay, where does the Yahara River go? Well, the Yahara River then eventually goes into the Wisconsin River. So then your point of reference becomes even bigger. And then you say, well, where does the Wisconsin River get all its water? And pretty soon you're looking at a watershed that's about two-thirds of the state of Wisconsin, because the Wisconsin River drains about two-thirds of the state in total. And so what's your watershed? There is no right answer and there is no wrong answer. It just depends on what particularly you're focused on with your mindset. Your backyard has a watershed, and if you're worried about the Mississippi River in North America, well, that is also a properly defined watershed. It's just much larger in scope.
Well, now we're getting somewhere interesting. Geographers like to describe regions as being either perceptual, based on subjective human criteria, or formal, based on distinctive physical characteristics. Apparently, watersheds can be both. Maybe that shouldn't be surprising, given the fluidity of water, that watersheds would have an equally fluid definition. Still, the folks who work on water resource projects have developed a more structured way of looking at watersheds, and this involves hydrologic units. These hydrologic units have six standardized levels. From largest to smallest, these are region, subregion, basin, subbasin, watershed, and subwatershed. Each of those areas is represented by two corresponding digits in a hydrologic unit code. So we have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, and those are the HUC codes. I asked David to explain how these HUC codes came about.
The USGS, when we started out with the goal of mapping out all the watersheds in the United States, and that started a long time ago. I got to believe that that happened as long ago as the 60s. It became apparent that how we define a watershed is simply the scale of the question that you're asking. As the USGS people who were conducting this effort started to conceptualize what watersheds across the United States actually meant, of course, it was all a personal question. And so they developed the concept of hydrologic unit codes, and or HUC or a HUC. The HUC unit increases in size as the watershed becomes smaller. One of the reasons the USGS went to this HUC definition was to try and standardize. We didn't want a HUC 8 in Texas to mean a bigger area than a HUC 8 in Wisconsin. We wanted it to be irrelevant of what state or wherever you are. We wanted to try and make it a somewhat uniform size. And so the Huck was also designed to accomplish that goal, to have, if you're at the Huck 8 level, it's about the size of a standard Wisconsin county. And I don't know how many acres that is. I'm sorry.
The average size of a sub-basin hydrologic unit level 4, Huck code 8, is about 700 square miles. Back to David.
If you increase that to, say, a Huck 12, a Huck 12 would contain about 4 Huck 8s. As you get smaller and smaller, the area that the Huck represents becomes more and more uniform. And as remotely sensed data has become more and more available and more accurate and more interpretable, we keep moving towards smaller and smaller Hucks because we can get that information cheaply and reliably everywhere to make those delineations.
This is an example of where understanding water involves policy, because you ultimately described a way to standardize a subjective concept to be able to address it in a scientific way. When it comes to policy and human beings, that's a pretty big challenge. It may sound like semantics, but it takes a lot of thought to get an actual functional, useful idea and term together and get it in the field and have it work. What's your favorite hydrologic unit, David?
My favorite hydrologic unit today would be the Black Earth Creek watershed. It happens to be the hydrologic unit that I live in. I'm always concerned about keeping the Black Earth Creek watershed in very good shape because it's truly one of Wisconsin's hydrologic treasures. If you've never been there, it's a very healthy trout stream that a lot of people visit and make use of, and it's a spectacular place.
What Huck level is Black Earth Creek?
The Black Earth Creek watershed would be a good example of a Huck 12 delineation. Certainly the size of the watershed that drains into Black Earth Creek is not the size of Dane County, but yet Black Earth Creek is in Dane County. So the Huck delineation at the 12 level would include an area about the size of Black Earth Creek.
You have to keep in mind that in practice, it's turned out that once you get down into Huck level 8, these smaller hydrological units, they're not always necessarily one watershed. And David explained this to me probably a little bit better.
When the landscape was originally divided up into these Huck units, the geographers who were assigned this delineation, they struggled with whether or not landforms or continuous areas of similar land characteristics, what exactly you do to draw those lines on the map. And in the end, it was kind of a combination of lots of different information. Because of that, when you get to a scale like the Huck 8 level, that's like taking the contiguous 48 United States and dividing it up into about 2,500 small postal zones. And that's the way I've had it described to me, that these are areas that are similar in character. They, a lot of times, are within the same watershed, but not always. You can't rely on the Huck definition to necessarily say the water within that Huck is all going to the same drainage point, but they are, again, connected together, they adjoin one another, and they generally have a similar characteristic to them.
Okay, well, I think we have our foundational concepts well in order. It's time to shut the computer off and head out into the field. Speaking of Black Earth Creek, I think that's where we're going to go next. I want to meet up with Tim Campbell and see what kind of work he's doing out in the Black Earth Creek watershed. So, here we go. I will see you next time. This recording was produced by Chris Bocast for the University of Wisconsin Water Resources Institute. Thanks for listening.